This episode of The Fix has been made possible with support from the Wealthy Her Network, established to champion the diversity of women's wealth with the end goal of better servicing female investors and returning a greater impact for the benefit of everyone.
We were in a meeting with all of our global directors. You know, Burton became very global very quickly. And there were 25 people in the room, two women. And it was actually Jake who turned to me and said, "We've got a problem here and you need to do something about it." Maybe even without articulating, I think he knew at a gut entrepreneurial level that we were not going to succeed in the long term if we didn't have more diversity in the room, that you can't be innovative if everybody starts to look the same and have the same background.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. These days, it's not enough for companies to simply sell a product. Consumers want to know what a brand stands for. According to recent studies, 63% of Americans are counting on businesses to drive social and environmental change. And 87% of customers will purchase a product because a company advocated for an issue they cared about. Organizations like Burton Snowboards understand the importance of social impact, and over the years, they've taken active steps to address issues like gender equality and environmental sustainability. On this week's episode, we have the pleasure of hearing from Donna Carpenter, CEO of the snowboarding company Burton, who will share how she's weaved social activism and gender equality into the fabric of the organization. Donna will also share how Burton has created a culture of equality and why more women in leadership roles can create positive change in sports and beyond.
So Burton was started by my husband, Jake, in 1977, and that sounds sexy, but it was really a one-man operation in a barn making something like a snurfer, which was a toy we all grew up sledding on, and he started modifying it and putting on bindings, but it was basically a piece of wood with a rope on the end. And I grew up outside of New York City, and I think I was looking for something different. So I ended up moving to Vermont, but right after I moved there and we were making these things in the barn, he had the idea that he could make a snowboard like a ski, which would be fiberglass and wood cores and steel edges. And the only place that was done in the world was Europe. And he and I had both lived in Europe before, and I wasn't too sure how I felt about being in rural Vermont. So I kind of jumped at the chance to move to Europe. And so the plan was, while he was producing the snowboards in Austria, is where we found a factory who would do it, I had another job lined up with a nonprofit. And he asked me, right before we went over, he asked me, "Hey, could you take a look at these inquiries that we're getting? A lot of people seem interested in snowboarding in Europe." And to make a long story short, I found myself at the age of 22 setting up our European operation. Again, sounds sexy. It was pretty, I always say we succeeded in Europe because we had no idea what we were doing. We were young and naive, and we went over there totally open-minded, and we wanted them to be open-minded about snowboarding. So that's how my career started.
While Jake led the way on the product side, Donna slowly took over the business end and now runs the company with a powerful vision for achieving inclusivity and sustainability. But achieving this vision was no small feat, as Burton had its own challenges when it came to including women.
You know, as snowboarders, we always had the value of inclusion and inclusivity. And I think that's because we were excluded in the beginning. We were excluded from ski areas. We were excluded from ski shops and trade shows. So it really didn't matter what snowboard you were riding, you were part of this tribe. So inclusion was always really important to us. And women were always really important to us. They helped pioneer the sport as much as men did. And very early in our company, in southern Vermont, some of our first kind of senior managers were women, and it was very balanced. And then what happened was we grew very quickly. And I think this happens to a lot of companies that experience triple-digit growth, is the culture became a male culture sort of without us realizing it. You know, we were growing both in terms of participants who wanted to snowboard and employees, and we were pulling from the surf, skate, and ski industries, which were very male-dominated. And all of a sudden, we woke up one morning and said, oh my God, something's happened here that we didn't mean for it to happen, and we're going to have to be really proactive in changing it. This was in 2003. We were in a meeting with all of our global directors. You know, Burton became very global very quickly, and there were 25 people in the room, two women. And it was actually Jake who turned to me and said, we've got a problem here, and you need to do something about it. Maybe even without articulating, I think he knew at a gut entrepreneurial level that we were not going to succeed in the long term if we didn't have more diversity in the room, that you can't be innovative if everybody starts to look the same and have the same background. And you're not pulling from the best talent. If you're only hiring men, you're leaving out half the talent pool. So as I explained to people from the beginning, this is not a do-good or a feel-good mission, but a bottom-line mission.
After realizing the organization wasn't where it needed to be, Donna set out to change the way women were represented and included at Burton. She did this by focusing on one thing: company culture. Here, Donna shares why creating a culture of equality is the key to advancing women at work.
I don't know, what's the quote, you know, culture eats strategy for lunch. You can have all the great strategies in place and you can state what your values are, but if people aren't behaving that way, and if you're not incentivizing people to be inclusive, for example, then you can, you know, you can have all the policies you want, but you're not going to see real change. And we were looking at real cultural change. I remember in 2003, some of the women I interviewed, I started by interviewing about 60 women, former and current employees, and men as well, and saying, hey, what are the challenges? What are the opportunities? And several women described the culture to me as a frat house or high school locker room. And I think, you know, by nature, I think that women who go into action sports are pretty tough, pretty badass. So there was a pretty high tolerance, but again, it had taken on a culture without us really realizing it. And so that's when I educated myself very quickly on culture and how to change things. And it was a long process. You know, we're talking about 15 years now. And, you know, we had a backlash where the men said, hey, what's going on? Are there going to be quotas? Are we, you know? And then they realized that because we were becoming a better company for women, we were becoming a better company for them. You know, we put in things like paternity leaves and childcare subsidies and things like that, that men take advantage of. So it's, you know, it's been a long journey, but the culture is key. The culture has to change. And I would say we have a completely different culture than we did 15 years ago.
When it comes to advancing gender equality, a lot of companies want a quick fix, so they implement off-the-shelf solutions like training programs or policies. Often these initiatives fall short because they're not supported by employees or the culture. Here, Donna shares how Burton created programs aimed at better supporting women and creating the right culture.
I realized that we were investing in women for 10 years and then losing them because they didn't see role models here. They didn't see themselves having a long-term career here and being able to balance things. So I knew that we really had to address things like, you know, giving maternity, but also paternity and childcare subsidies. But also I knew that, for example, any woman in a high profile product sales or marketing role has to travel. So we have a policy that allows you to take a caregiver with you for the first 18 months of your child's life when you have to travel, or provides a caretaker at home. So we really came up with creative ways to support women through those transitional years when they have young kids. And the second most important thing was mentoring. And that's what a lot of women told me when I interviewed them, that they craved a mentor. I think if you're the only woman in the room, mentoring is happening organically between the guys. They're going out for a beer, they're going to play golf, they're going to take a few runs, whatever. And women said, I just want somebody to talk to who's kind of been there, done that, and can give me career guidance. So we started a couple different mentoring programs. One was very grassroots, where veteran women mentored younger women. And then I had every single senior manager mentor a director level female, depending on what her development needs were. And we would review those development needs on an annual basis. So the mentoring really paid off, and the results were phenomenal. After 2 years, 50% of the participants had either been promoted or moved to a department that was better aligned with their goals. So after, I would say, about 5 or 6 years, the guys raised their hand and said, hey, what about us? And so we said, let's make it co-ed. So now it's like half our employees participate, and we've become a mentoring culture. But then, you know, what's important is after you have some female leaders, I think they're better at spotting female talent. You know, I've had many times in my career where, you know, everybody is expecting the guy to get the promotion, and you say, what about that woman over there? Has anybody talked to her? She could be really good. So I think just the fact of having female leaders will keep the momentum going as well.
When it comes to changing workplace culture, it's important to also recognize the barriers that men face, which often go unnoticed. For example, research finds that men who want to reduce their work hours for family reasons are likely to be penalized. It's estimated they will face a 26% reduction in pay, compared to women who will face a 23% reduction. Here, Donna shares how she overcame the initial pushback from men by identifying how cultures of equality also benefit them.
There was a bit of a backlash, I would say. I think they were worried we would put in quotas. We didn't put in quotas. One thing we did before on the recruiting side, we were getting 99% male applicants for leadership jobs. So we told hiring managers that they had to find a female finalist who was equally qualified. And if she didn't apply, they had to go out and look for her. You know, there were things that everybody had to participate in. I held people accountable. Guys used to joke that if they lost a good woman, I would track them down in the halls. But it didn't take long for them to see the value of what we were doing. And they were young parents too. A lot of our employees are young parents. And like I said, they saw that the benefits, that we were changing kind of how we looked at our employees more as whole people with families and other obligations. And we were able to go after the woman's market. You know, I believe there's a really strong connection there. You can't go after the women's market unless you have women in key strategic decision-making roles. So the growth in our women's product has outpaced the men's growth in the last couple of years to the benefit of everybody.
Culture and leadership are two sides of the same coin. All leaders have a preferred way of doing things, and this sets the standard for how employees are meant to behave. This is something that Donna knows all too well, and here she shares why it's so important for leaders to walk the talk when it comes to creating cultures of equality.
A lot of my change has come from pain points. So that's a lot of the reasons why I get out there and talk about this. We're lucky because people come to work for us because they're passionate about the sport. And we were totally taking that for granted. We really weren't doing anything to make sure that we were retaining them and developing them and guiding their career here, which I think people feel we are doing now. So, you know, make sure you're really living those values, because your employees and your customers will see right through it if you don't.
When it comes to culture change, some leaders might choose quick fixes instead of long-term solutions. But at Burton, inclusivity and sustainability are so embedded that they've simply become the way business gets done. Here, Donna shares an example of how culture has transformed Burton's approach to environmental sustainability.
Sustainability was something that the action sports industry didn't talk about. I think there was a sense that our consumers might not care. And I, you know, having raised three millennial boys in their 20s now, I knew that they would care. But I also knew that I couldn't just come in and say, we're going to do X, Y, and Z around sustainability, because it was going to be a lot more work for everybody, a lot more work for all the product managers. So I really had to change the culture around sustainability and Burton being a leader. And once you do that, I think that, you know, people want to come work for you. You know, they want to come work for a company that really lives up to its values. And again, for us, sustainability was always a value, the sustainability of the sport. But 20 years ago, that didn't mean climate change. Now it does. So I think leaders have to adapt their values to the times, but always make sure that they're living up to them. Because your culture will call you out. You know, your employees will call you out if you're not living up to what you say your aspirations are.
At Burton, living the company values is something that extends to all areas of life. For example, the organization recently supported employees with attending the Women's March. Donna says the role of businesses has evolved over time, and now organizations need to step up and address social issues like this.
You know, I just thought about the 15 years of work we'd done around gender equality. And so my instinct was, oh my God, I got to go. And then my second instinct was, oh my God, I got to offer this up to any Burton employee who wants to come. You know, it's interesting. If you had asked me 10 years ago, would businesses be taking the lead on social issues like climate change and gender equality and immigration, I would say, no, that's not business's role. But our government has forsaken those roles. And I think that there's a need for business leaders to step in and say, you know what, we're not okay with discrimination against women and sexual violence against women. And I think the Me Too movement was in reaction to that, which is a good thing.
Finally, here's Donna's advice to women on how they can better support one another and help the next generation of leaders within their own organization.
Take the time to mentor somebody, pay it forward. And I think that, you know, women who look for mentoring relationships are pretty highly motivated anyway. So yeah, I think it's up to women leaders to make sure that the organization is assessing their talent based on skills and not just who's raising their hand, and kind of be proactive in developing new leaders.
Burton is a great example of a company that understands the importance of living their values. Consumers have come to expect organizations to do more than simply sell products, as 90% of Americans say they're more likely to trust and stay loyal to companies that actively try to make a difference. But the key to getting this right is to be genuine. This isn't about jumping on a social good campaign or a cause wagon. Companies have to live the values of the causes they support if they want it to become a part of their brand. Just like Burton, who are trying to make equality the way they do business. In today's Wealthy Her Weekly Fix, we're joined by Anne-Marie Camp, Head of Personal Risk Services at Chubb and a member of the Wealthy Her Network. Here, Anne-Marie shares her fix.
Hi, I'm Anne-Marie Camp, and I am Head of Chubb Personal Risk Services for Europe, and we're thrilled to be a founding member of the Wealthy Her Network. one of the things that really rang true to me as a woman in a career and with a family is that we found that women overwhelmingly, 59%, believe the role of wealth is to provide for family security and comfort. What we've learned, not just for women, but people in general, especially in the UK, is that folks are generally time poor, and there are pain points, just like we have around other financial services, in terms of a general sense of frustration with an insurance provider or an interest in disengaging. And so my call to you is, rather than disengaging, work with advisors who help you get what you need to make great decisions. So this week's fix is, I know it's awkward and challenging and not that interesting to talk about what bad things might happen, but I really encourage you, have a list. If something were to happen with your home or your car or your situation in general, do you know who you're going to call? If you have a relationship and a partnership and you're not involved in your decision-making together, be brave and ask the question, do I have my jewelry adequately insured? Or do I have the expectations I want to finish the beautiful furnishings I put into our home protected? There's so much advice out there to really give you a full service proposition that's not just about protecting your possessions, but protecting your lifestyle and all that you've worked so hard to achieve. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. I really hope you all enjoyed it. If you haven't already, please subscribe to my newsletter. Each week, I share exclusive insights and stories from men and women who are passionate about creating a gender-equal world. We provided a link in our show notes so you can sign up. Have a great week, and I'll catch you all again on the next episode.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.